There are three key ingredients to my fondest guitar journey memory to date. They happen to be this Martin Singolo 18 from 1958, my oldest son Aiden, and a trip to my favorite guitar store. Coming up, I want to share with you the realization that I had that completely changed my level of fulfillment with acoustic guitar, and I think it'll change yours as well.
All right, here's your giant banjo. And the...
It's very flat.
Well, it doesn't look flat from in the audience.
It has basically no dimension to it.
Well, it's painted to look three-dimensional. You go back there,
but it's not painted. I'm looking on the back right now.
I can't wait to share with you the story of that 1958 Martin Singolo 18. But first, let me share some, well, life-changing news with you. Come with me. Back on September 15th, Whitney and I welcomed Emerson into the world, and he's napping right now, but I want to give you a sneak peek, okay? So let's be quiet. Here we go. There he is. That's Emerson Downs Policastro, born on September 15th, 2020. And before I wake him up, let me shoot over to the other room, and I'll share with you some other important news. Okay, on to that other important news that I wanted to share with you, since I can be a little bit louder down here in the studio. I wanted you to know that there's a new season of Acoustic Tuesday coming up in the middle of October. For those of you that have been tuning in, first of all, thank you for that. But you'll notice that the last few weeks, almost a month now, I've been shooting the Acoustic Tuesday show from home, and that's because Whitney and I were prepping everything for Emerson's arrival. And now that he's here, we're adjusting to, well, I guess what we can call our new normal. Some sleepless nights, and you can probably tell by the bags under my eyes. But nonetheless, we're happy to have Emerson home, and it's going to take just a couple more weeks for us to kind of find our groove, and of course, allow me to get back into the studio and start up the new season of Acoustic Tuesday. But in this in-between time, don't worry, your programming will not be effective at all. In fact, I'll still be shooting the show here from home to give you kind of, well, updates from the home studio, my Guitar Geek list, and a little life insight into a new Guitar Geek dad. So with that being said, we're now on the same page. New Acoustic Tuesday show coming at you in the middle of October. I should say new Acoustic Tuesday season. With that being said, let's go ahead and dig into the story of this 1958 Martin Singolo 18 and the realization that it helped me make about, well, what is my fondest guitar journey memory.
This show starts in an hour. Now, everything is exactly
and
the way
you... What's that? Those are lights hanging up there?
Yes, those are lights.
Could they fall?
And that's a ceiling above us.
But they look shaky.
No, they're not shaky. They're
perfect. It's like that wire. I see it.
Ow!
I'm excited to share with you the story of this 1958 Martin Singolo 18. And more importantly, the realization that it helped me make. It was one of those things that had been in front of my face all along. But this guitar is the very thing that helped me, well, connect the dots, I guess. So back to the story of how I got this guitar. So it was back in 2018, and Whitney and I were going to Chicago to visit my oldest son, Aiden, who I think maybe some of you have seen if you've watched the Acoustic Tuesday show before. He's 13, and we went to Chicago to visit him and hang out and go to a Chicago Blackhawks game. And it was quite honestly one of the best memories I have with Aiden. We just had so much fun at the game and just being together for a week in Chicago. We had a hotel downtown and we kind of did all the Chicago things. And it was just a blast. And one of the Chicago things that we did was go to the Chicago Music Exchange. And it was so exciting because, well, number one, as a guitar geek, I love Chicago Music Exchange. It's a delightful store. It's one of those stores that if you're ever in the Chicago area, you absolutely have to go out of your way to stop at it. Plain and simple. It's that amazing of a store, between the staff being incredible, the overall sight of the store being amazing, and the fact that when you walk in, you're surrounded by some incredibly historically significant guitars, not to mention just total acoustic icons. I mean, literally, you walk in the acoustic showroom, and I saw like a Gibson Century L00, some pre-war Martins on top of some great custom guitars from Santa Cruz and many other companies. So it's kind of a side note, but the Chicago Music Exchange is incredible. In fact, I remember featuring Chicago Music Exchange back on Acoustic Tuesday episode number 3. Yeah, I think it was number 3. So very, very early on. Nonetheless, Aiden and I and Whitney, she was excited to go as well. We were super pumped to go to Chicago Music Exchange, and I really had no intention on purchasing a guitar. But I kind of, at the time, was bitten by the small body guitar bug, and I was looking for another Singalo 17, of which they had three. And then they had two Singalo 18s. This one, and one from a much earlier year, I believe it was 1936. So I went and I thought, oh, this is cool, I get to try out three different Singalo 17s. Well, I didn't like any of them because, well, I already have one and I really enjoy that. So I thought, well, let me try out those Singalo 18s. So I brought the two down. I shouldn't say I brought them down. Carl Cannon from Chicago Music Exchange helped me out. He put me in a room with the 1936 Singalo 18 and the 1958 Singalo 18. And as you can tell, I came home with the 1958. And it was one of those cool moments where I was going back and forth between two guitars that I had the luxury of comparing. Two vintage Martin Singalo 18s, both in great shape. And my brain was telling me, oh, the 1936, you have to like the 1936 because it's earlier and it's more expensive. But I ended up really enjoying the 58 because of the neck feel and because of the tone that it gave. And to this day, I don't regret that decision at all. Going with this 1958 Singalo 18 has been awesome. And you might be thinking, Tone, that's not a really heavy realization. Well, I'm going to get to the realization here in a second, because this guitar was kind of the facilitator of a way of thinking, and it really kind of helped shine the light on something that was under my nose all the time. But prior to sharing with you that realization, why don't we go ahead and dig into this guitar so you can actually hear it. I'm just going to play a quick little something so you can hear what this guitar is all about and kind of, well, wrap your head around why I chose it. Awesome guitar, right? I agree. And that's why it came home with me. But really, the realization that I made has nothing to do with this guitar. This guitar just happened to be present. Now, back when I first got into guitar, I remember distinctly my dad taking me to Guitar Center, I think in Elk Grove Village, Illinois. So, I'm pretty sure it was in Elk Grove Village. It was about, I would say, a 20-minute drive for us. But I remember the day. I remember the day that would come. It would be the weekend, usually a Sunday. And Dad and I would kind of be sitting at the breakfast table, and the topic of guitar would come up, and all of a sudden he'd be like, let's go to Guitar Center. So we did, and it was one of my favorite memories. It still is one of my favorite memories, because it was that moment. It felt like a passing the torch in a way. Because my dad had grown up with guitar. He had been in bands, played with his family, was teaching me. And this was that moment where we hopped in the truck, drove our 20 minutes, and he was able to kind of share with me more about guitar. He was able to tell me the difference between a Telecaster and a Stratocaster. He was able to show me all the different guitars in the acoustic room, and he was able to share his opinion that Martins are the best. And I agree with him to a certain degree, but I embrace many other guitar manufacturers as well. But I digress. It was that memory that was triggered when I was taking Aiden to Chicago Music Exchange. Because for the first time, now Aiden has gone with me to guitar stores throughout his whole life. In fact, he's been with me for a lot of guitar purchases, maybe unknowingly on his part. But this was the first time that we went to a guitar store together, and he was clearly bit by the guitar bug. Now, he had started learning guitar some years prior to this, but he was really into it. He was into the different guitar models. He had started to kind of know which artist plays which guitar. And it was awesome to be there with Whitney and Aiden looking at all the different guitars and being able to share that common bond of music. Which leads me to the realization that I had. Here I am sitting in Chicago Music Exchange trying out these two amazing guitars, and I'm able to do it with my family right there. Whitney was right there, Aiden was right there. They were very patient with me as I went back and forth between the two guitars for probably 2.5 to 3 hours. They were very patient. We went out to a nice dinner afterwards. The point I'm trying to make here is that, well, the realization that I want to share with you is that family has always been a part of my guitar journey. And I should actually flip it. And my guitar journey has always centered around family. And for that, I am extremely, extremely grateful. And I thought, you know, this was just one isolated incident. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that everywhere the guitar has been in my life, my family has been around. Even before my existence, to be honest, not to be all like existential and philosophical, but you know, my dad grew up playing guitar. He grew up playing with his brother in a band. And then here we are, you know, some years later, I turn 18. He starts teaching me guitar and getting me interested, playing albums for me, sharing all these new artists with me. We would go to concerts together. In fact, I remember the first concert we went together was Dan Fogelberg. This was when I was, I think, in first grade. But that continued on throughout my whole life. And it was so cool to have this passion, you know, when I was 18, this newfound passion of guitar, and have my dad there to just kind of usher it forward and really kind of stoke the fire within me. And then fast forward, I see Aiden starting to get into music. I see Aiden starting to play guitar. I see Aiden starting to play drums. And here we are at Chicago Music Exchange together, kind of reliving one of my fondest childhood memories is, you know, going to the guitar store with dad. And here I was now, the dad, going to the guitar store with my son and having him be just as interested. And now even to zoom closer into the present, you know, Whitney and I welcomed Emerson into the world here back on September 15th, some weeks ago. And I've been playing a lot of music for him as he's sleeping. You know, basically the newborn schedule is eat, sleep, poop, repeat, basically every 2 to 3 hours. So I've had a lot of time to play guitar with Emerson and with Whitney in the room, and it even made me realize and make another connection that, you know, Whitney's folks were here to visit and, of course, see Emerson, their grandson. You know, I play guitar with Whitney's dad. Again, you know, it's this guitar family connection that I am so grateful for. And one of the, I guess to tidy up the realization is that, you know, I've had some great experiences with the guitar. I've had the opportunity to play with so many of my guitar heroes. I've sat in the same room as Tommy Emmanuel. We played songs together. I was able to play on stage with John Mayer. I was able to play with Tony Furtado. I'm able to play with Charlie Parr and all these guitar players that I really look up to. And I'm not saying this. I'm not saying this to brag and say, oh, I've played with all these people. I'm saying this to offer some perspective on the profoundness of the fact that my fondest guitar journey memory is having family and guitar be intertwined. That's not to discount the cool things that I've had experiences with the guitar. It's to underscore how important it is to me personally to have family and guitar kind of be one unit. And it's something that I wanted to share with you, because the more that you think about it, the more you start to make these interesting connections. Which leads me to a question that I have for you, and that is this. In the comments below, I want to know what your fondest guitar journey memory is. And it could very well be something involving family, and if so, that's great. But maybe it's you playing a song in public for the very first time, and it was one of those moments that everything zoomed into focus and you thought to yourself, this is why I'm doing this. This is so fulfilling. This is so amazing. I want to know the memory that basically helped you realize how fulfilling the guitar was and how necessary it was in your life. It is in your life. Maybe it's the fact that you started playing the guitar in the first place and that's your fondest memory. That's a great memory, and I want to know about it. So in the comments below, again, please let me know your fondest guitar memory, the memory that helps remind you how fulfilling the guitar truly is. I can't wait to see what you have for me in the comments below, and thanks for coming into my world. One of the things I wanted to say before we move on to our next topic here In fact, I have a very cool kind of practice topic for you. Since I've had a lot of time at home, I've had a chance to really sink into my practice sessions, and I want to share with you five ways your phone can actually help you practice. But we'll get to that in a moment. But I just wanted to take a second and thank you for coming along with me for this journey. Doing the Acoustic Tuesday show at home during this kind of monumental time in my family life has been really fun because it's allowed me to kind of reflect a little bit on, well, the guitar and its presence in my life. And hopefully my reflection has caused you to reflect a little bit on your life and how the guitar has played a role in it as well. So with that being said, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for, like I said, coming along with me on this incredible journey and continuing to go along with me on this incredible journey. Remember that new season starts here in the middle of October. With that being said, let me go ahead and put this guitar down, grab my phone, and show you some of the tools that I've been using to really amplify my practice session. No pun there, it's just helped my practice sessions quite a bit. As I've mentioned before, I've been spending a lot of time at home lately, which has translated to a lot of extended guitar practice sessions. Now, I always strive to practice for at least 10 minutes a day. That leaves me feeling good about my progress. It leaves me feeling like I'm playing consistently and I'm progressing consistently as well, which is huge. It's just this positive feeling that always surrounds my guitar journey, and I attribute that to 10 minutes a day. But as I said, I've had a lot of spare time on my hand, a little bit more so before Emerson was born. Now that he's born, there's been a lot of, you know, running around and a lot of late nights and a lot of holding and a lot of soothing. But nonetheless, these longer practice sessions have made me think of the tools that I use to practice, and I wanted to share some of them with you. And I guess the biggest tool that I have to share is your phone, a smartphone. I use an iPhone, but you might use an Android or something like that. And what I wanted to do was share with you five things that I use with my phone to help facilitate an awesome practice session. And I'm going to just go through these pretty quickly. I'll be sharing some apps with you, so make sure to grab a pen and paper. If you're a pen and paper person, you can write them down and then get them on your phone maybe a little bit later. The apps that I'm going to share with you aren't terribly expensive. I think they all come in under $10, but they are very well worth it because they help keep your practice sessions on track. But these first two don't cost any money. In fact, with my iPhone, they came built into the iPhone. The first one is the Voice Memo. It's basically a voice recorder. So essentially, you're carrying around in your pocket, on your phone, a recording device at all times, which is incredible because if you ever have an idea, you pop open the Voice Memo app, press record, and away you go. You can get down ideas, whether it's lyric ideas, simple song melodies, or if you're trying out a new tuning, or check this out, if you're at a concert, or if you hear something on the radio and you can't quite remember who it is, you can flip open that voice memo, do a quick recording, and have it captured. So I've found that incredibly useful in terms of, I guess for me, getting down lyric ideas and just new song ideas. The second app is also built into my phone, and that is the video camera. And I use this so much during my practice sessions, especially when I'm developing new ideas, specifically instrumental songs in alternate tunings. And I say this, and I want to be specific in this, because for a lot of my own personal music, stuff that I've composed, stuff that I've recorded, it's in alternate tunings, and even if I hear a recording of it, I'm not sure where those notes are because I can't remember the tuning and I don't remember what shapes my fingers were making. So in an effort to kind of circumvent forgetting these songs, I actually use the video recorder and I make sure that the video is of the entire guitar neck. And at the beginning of the video, I announce the tuning, play the single strings, and then I go ahead and play the entire piece. This allows me to actually see where my fingers are so that I don't forget things. And I think some might say, oh, that tone, that's a crutch. You should be able to remember everything. Well, quite frankly, I can't remember everything. And using the video recording tool has been such an amazing piece of my practice repertoire. In fact, this last time I was in the studio about 3 weeks ago now. And what I ended up doing is using my video recordings to recall the tunes that I was going to record. It actually worked really well and helped me be really efficient in the studio. So those first two things that I shared with you come built in on the phone, the voice memo and of course the video recording. These next two things are going to be add-on apps, but they're not expensive. Again, I think they're under 10 bucks. If prices changed, maybe they're up to 15, but I doubt it. The first one is called Pro Metronome. And this is just a simple metronome. And what I love about it is that it's easy to use and I don't have to think much with it. I can change the time signature very quickly. I can change the accented beats very quickly. I can change the tempo very quickly. And in fact, there's even, I think you can pay for the upgrade. There's even a training feature where every certain number of minutes or certain number of seconds, it actually increases the tempo. So systematically, you're training yourself to be faster. And again, this is called Pro Metronome. I do believe it's available for both iPhone as well as Android. I wanna say I paid $4 for it and it was one of the best $4 investments I've ever made for just sitting down and having an awesome guitar practice session. It pairs with anything you're working on because, well, having a metronome is pretty incredible. Plus you can change the tones of the metronome, which is really nice because sometimes the mechanical metronomes are really, really grating on your every last nerve. So I really dig the Pro Metronome, so make sure to check that one out. Now I have one more app that I want to share with you. And then the fifth thing that I use my phone for, I think will really surprise you. So I want you to stay tuned for that because it's something that I think will knock your socks off, clear across the neighborhood. But let me get to this one last app. Let me just do a quick recap. We have the voice memo, the video recording, the Pro Metronome, and then this other app is called iReel Pro. iReel Pro. And what it is it's a way to generate backing tracks. This app is, actually my friend Tom Murphy turned me onto this app and it has proven invaluable during COVID times because I can't go to a local jam. I can't just sit down and jam with anybody anymore. Those days are, well, they're just not here right now because of various quarantine and rules and things like that. So this iReel Pro app allows me to program a backing track and practice soloing against it, which is awesome. And I even practice my rhythm guitar against it to make sure that I'm staying in time as I'm playing rhythm guitar. Now, I use this app primarily in a bluegrass setting. In fact, one of the added features of this app, and it's kind of hidden within the app, is you can access these forums. And within these forums, other users of iReel Pro have posted backing tracks that they've made that you can import onto your device. In fact, there's a specific area in the forum called the Bluegrass 300 or Bluegrass 500 that has like, you know, hundreds of the most popular fiddle tunes and the backing tracks already there. So I'll just go through, pick out the tunes that I'm working on, get those backing tracks and chord charts, and just play along with them. You can adjust the speed, you can adjust the backing track instruments. In fact, when you get the app, I think the free version has some really lame sounds. But if you pay for the upgrade, you can actually get a bluegrass band that has, you know, banjo, mandolin, guitar, bass, etc. But you can also isolate certain instruments. So this app is pretty flexible, and it's one that I've found I found a lot of use for. In fact, another thing you can do with it, and I'm not, this is, by the way, I'm not being paid for any of this. This is just apps that I've found useful that I want to share with you. One of the things you can do with it is actually generate chord charts, which is phenomenal if you're trying to communicate your musical ideas to other people, send them via email. It's just an all-around great app that is extremely, extremely versatile and really helps add kind of that real playing element to your practice sessions. If you're practicing improvisation or jamming with others, this is a great app. And again, it's called iReel Pro, I-R-E-A-L Pro. And you can get that, again, I have it on the iPhone. I believe you can get it on Android. I'm not entirely sure if somebody has experience with Android and this app, please let me know in the comments below. That you would help out a ton of guitar geeks because this is an app I really strongly recommend. So again, quick recap, the voice memo feature, the video recording feature, the Pro Metronome app, and iReel Pro. Now the fifth thing that has been a major breakthrough for me in my practice sessions with my phone is to turn it off. Yes, the fifth thing that I want you to do with your phone is to turn it off and get it out of your hair. Because as good as the phone can be, and I think the four things that I shared with you already are phenomenal additions to your practice repertoire, your practice tools, as good as those can be, the phone is still a gateway to distraction. And I want you to be aware of that, and I want you to be conscious about it. If you're using the metronome, put your plane in airplane mode. If you can't do that and you're tempted by the distraction, don't even bring your phone into the practice room. Turn it off, set it outside, do your 10 minutes of practice or more, and then carry on with your life. Turn your phone back on, put it back in your pocket. And I say this because I can sit down with the best of intentions for any practice session. I can be using the metronome app on my phone, and if I don't put it in airplane mode or if I don't turn other distraction-focused features of my phone off, I will no doubt start texting somebody, find myself on Reverb looking at gear, or looking at Instagram at other guitar stuff. Worse yet, I'll find myself on YouTube surfing countless videos and not playing anything. So yes, the fifth recommendation I have for you with your phone is to actually turn it off. And that can be much more of a help than you realize. So there you have it. Just some quick little insight into how to use your phone to really amp up your practice sessions and get the most, whether you're developing new ideas, practicing old ones, or trying to jam with other folks. And it's just not being a reality. Your phone actually will allow you to do that, given you have the appropriate app. So I hope you found that beneficial. And I have a question for you. In the comments below, if you could share with the Guitar Geek viewing community of Acoustic Tuesday, if there are any apps that you find beneficial on your phone that you use for your practice sessions, go ahead and you can link to them in the comments or just mention them in the comments. I would love to hear what you all use or have been using in addition to the ones that I've mentioned. Okay, that pretty much wraps up the Acoustic Tuesday show from home this week. I want to thank you so much for your time. And there's one quick thing that I want to ask of you, and that is this. If you happen to find yourself on Instagram, please follow tac.guitar, TAC.guitar. I would greatly appreciate it, and I think you would greatly appreciate it as well. Every week, I post various playing tips, coaching tips, kind of guitar journey motivation, and every Saturday, I do something called the Vinyl Vault, which is a quick 60-second preview into what I'm listening to for the week, and it's a way for you to discover new artists and learn some factoids about them as well. So again, thank you so much for your time today, and again, thanks from the bottom of my heart for going on this journey with me, this kind of life/guitar journey. I really appreciate it, and I hope you found it fun and beneficial to your own guitar journey as well. In fact, I hear Emerson crying right now, which means my time in the downstairs guitar studio is about up. So remember, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. here on YouTube. And of course, for your Acoustic Tuesday fix in between Tuesdays, please visit acousticlife.tv. Now I am off to take care of Emerson, relieve Whitney of her motherly duties, and I should say a quick sneak peek into next week while I still have the time. You're going to learn five things a baby taught me about playing guitar, and I've finally broken down and I'm going to share with you the electric guitars in my collection because, well, you've all asked and I thought it's time. It's time I just crack open those cases and share with you what I got. That's all happening next week on Acoustic Tuesday. Thank you so much for joining me today. And remember, Guitar Geeks Unite. Cheers.